God. Well, I think I'll start out by doing this. For those of you that like to take notes, I'm going to give you the scriptures that I might turn to today. Yeah, you know, got to cover your bases. But we're going to start out in Malachi chapter 2 and Malachi chapter 3. I want to carry some things that I carried last week. Then we will go to Hebrews chapter 3. We hit on this, some of this briefly last Sunday, but it was brief. I didn't get to spend as much time on it as I'd like to, and I thank God for getting to be a pastor, that because when you're a pastor, you always got next Sunday, or you often have next Sunday, unlike traveling ministers and those that you know, travel. They don't necessarily have next Sunday, but praise God, and he's got stuff for us. So Malachi 2, Malachi 3, Numbers, we'll end up in Numbers 14. I don't know if this order is right, but we'll end up there, I do hope. Numbers 14. I said Hebrews 3, Hebrews 4, Isaiah 43. Those are places we could end up. And if you know anything about me at all, you know I find one verse of scripture, and that can take 10 minutes. So you might get nervous. God is so good. But there's just, we've been talking about words, and I'm going to keep talking about words because they're so important. But in the process of talking about words, I also want to talk today about the nature of God, the characteristic of, a characteristic of God and how he is. How many of us in here realize, I mean, we really realize that God is for us? How many of you realize God is for you? He's for you. He's for you. How many of you sometimes wonder why? Yeah. You know, I know I sometimes wonder why. I sometimes look at me and I don't know about all you, but sometimes I'm a real disappointment to me. But yet God is still for me. God is still for you. He is still for us. He is still on our side. And one of the things with some of these scriptures we're going to look at is how even when we're, you know, messing up, he's trying to get us back over here where we're walking in his abundance and where we're walking in his forgiveness, where we're walking in his blessing. And then in the midst of all of this, we're going to be talking about words and the words that we say out of our mouth. And that's where we'll start right now, is words that we say out of our mouth. But Malachi 2, verse 17, just listen to this here a little bit, and this will show up a few times today. Verse 17, Malachi 2, you have wearied the Lord with your words. Now, what did these people do? They wearied, and when somebody's wearied, they're what? They're tired. Amen. Now, we know the Lord doesn't get physically tired, but according to this verse of scripture, there is something that he does get tired of. Amen. And what is it that he can get tired of? Words that people speak. Now, did you know he also likes words that people speak? Amen. There's words he just loves to hear. He really enjoys hearing words that people speak. But there's I don't know about you, I don't want God to get tired of what I'm saying. And you know what? I've done that to him. As I'm talking, I'm thinking about a situation. I've shared it with you before, but I've never connected it with this. I remember this. This is about 10 years ago, maybe 11 years ago now. I would go to bed every night. And I'd go to sleep, and I would just start doing this. God, I am so sorry. I blew it again today. I didn't get this done. I didn't get that done. I failed here. I messed up over there. And that went on for like 6 months. And then God did something. He interrupted me. And this is the way he put it. He just said to me, he said, Joel, don't you understand that there are times I want to just walk with you in the cool of the garden? He was saying a number of things in that statement. One of the things he was saying to me is, Joel, it's not all about getting stuff done. It's not all about performance. It's not all about accomplishing things. There's an element in this that you're missing, Joel, and that's a relationship and a friendship with me. And there are days, Joel, that I just want to walk with you in the cool of the garden, and my mind instantly went to God coming down and walking with Adam and Eve in the cool of the garden. You know what God was getting tired of? He's getting tired of the words coming out my mouth, how I never do anything good enough and I always fall short. I don't want to listen to this anymore. I'm done. And the only way to get this guy to shut up about that stuff is to interrupt him. So he did. And guess what? Anytime I get tempted to go to bed like that, I just stop. It's amazing what a word from the Lord can do to your life. It is so good. And he just brought that to a halt. I don't know about you, but I don't want to weary God with my words. All right, now go over with me, if you would, to chapter 3. Chapter 3, verse 13. Y'all okay? I kind of had a hunch it was going to be a little quiet in here for a while today. It might be a little sober. So that's okay. Malachi chapter 3, let's look at verse 13. Notice this. Your words have been harsh against me, says the Lord. Wow. I heard a friend teaching this and it kind of made me laugh. It's interesting. Yet you say, what have we spoken against you? You have said. You know what God does now? Now he's going to quote them. He's going to quote back to them what they've been saying. Do you think God hears what we say? I mean, if he can quote back to us, that's an indication that he's hearing what we say. I want to make sure if I hear him quoting me back, it's good stuff. Amen? If he's going to quote me, I want him to like it. Amen? Hallelujah. You think your words matter? Do you think your words have any more, that they go into other realms than just this natural realm here? Just think about it. Our words make it up into heaven. God's hearing. God's listening. All right. What have we spoken against you? You have said, it is useless to serve God. What profit is it that we keep his ordinances? You know, I don't know if anybody would outright say, there's no profit in serving God. But what profit is it to keep his word? But yet, do you know people do say that? What good is it to go to church? Isn't going to church part of God's instruction for us, part of God's word for us? Forsake not the assembling of yourselves together, which is the habit of some. But yet people say, that doesn't do any good. Why bother? Doesn't make any difference. You know what those are? Those are words that are spoken against God that he hears. You know, and then there's people, no, it doesn't do any good to give. Why give? Doesn't make any difference. How many of you can think of places where people speak words against God? And what good does it do to pray? You know, I had a guy one time, I offered to pray for him, and he said, it isn't going to do any good anyway. I wonder how God feels about people saying prayer isn't going to do any good anyhow. I know prayer does good. I know prayer works. I know prayer changes nations. I know prayer changes people's hearts. You know what? I dare say most of you in here are here because somebody prayed for you somewhere along the line. Amen? But yet people, they'll speak harsh against him. Doesn't do any good to pray. Oh, go ahead, but it isn't going to do any good. I prayed for him anyway. All right, it is useless to serve God. What profit is it that we keep his ordinances and that we have walked as mourners before the Lord of hosts? So now we call the proud blessed, and those who do wickedness are raised up. They even tempt God and go free. Now notice verse 16. Then those who feared the Lord. How many of us in here fear the Lord? Because see, we're looking at two different camps. We're looking at two different groups of people. I'm in this camp right here. I fear the Lord. And I've searched my whole Christian life, pretty much, to really grab a hold of and comprehend and understand what it is to fear the Lord and to be able to put it in words. And you know what? I still can't. I can't. I don't fully get it yet. I know that. Here's the best I can come up with. This is the best. If I have a fear of the Lord, it's a fear of displeasing Him. That's the best I can put it into words. To let Him down. The thought of letting Him down. Oh boy, I don't want to do that. I don't think that covers the whole spectrum of the fear of the Lord. But it's the best I can say. I don't want to let Him down. I don't want to let Him down. I don't want to disappoint Him. Anybody else in here? There's a whole bunch of you in here. You can agree with that. You don't want to let Him down. You don't want to disappoint Him. It's really interesting then if we just keep looking at these verses of Scripture. Verse 16. Then those who fear the Lord, what'd they do? They spoke to one another. And what happened? And the Lord listened and heard them. Now, I shared this with you. I got so excited last week when I was reading this and when I was going over it and I was studying it, because many of you in your Bibles, you'll be able to do this by the word spoke. In verse 16 there, how many of you got a little T or a letter or something? Any of you got one of those in your Bibles right next to that? And then if you look at that, it gives a reference. What's it give a reference for? In my Bible, it gives a reference to Hebrews chapter 3, verse 13. Hebrews 3:13. And see, when I saw this little note for the reference, my mind knew Hebrews 3:12 and 13. And I went, I know where this is going. See, what we're talking about is those who fear the Lord speaking to one another. So what is it that they were saying to one another? And remember this, you're getting ready to turn to Hebrews 3, that's all fine. I'm trying to pull a number of things together at the same time. But He listened to them. He heard them and listened to them. Then notice what He does. So a book of remembrance was written before Him. Did you know that we, by the words that we speak to one another, are getting to help author a book in heaven? So, I have said for years that I'm going to write a book. I'm writing a book. It's not exactly what I've been thinking all this time, but this is even a better book, And just think about it. So with the words of those who fear the Lord and the words that get spoken to each other, what is God doing? He's listening, He's hearing, and He's having a book of remembrance written. Now, how many of you got over to Hebrews chapter 3? I have to start at verse 12 if I'm just going to quote it, because I've memorized those two together. 3:12 says, "Beware, brethren." So it's a warning to the brethren. Hebrews 3:12, "Beware, brethren, lest there be in any of you an evil heart of unbelief in departing from the living God." That's 12. But now notice verse 13. Catch it. But do what? Exhort one another daily, as long as it is called today. Now keep the connection with what this is tied to in Malachi chapter 3. People who fear the Lord, people who spoke words to each other, God listened and heard the words that they spoke, and He had a book of remembrance written. And what were the words that He was hearing that caused him to want them written down. What's that, Janine? Yeah. Words of exhortation to one another. Friends, how important is it that we exhort each other in the things of God? How important is it to God that we edify each other and we build each other up with our words? It's important enough to God that he's writing a book of remembrance. I don't know about you, but this has always been important to me, but God just took it to another level. He just took it even higher. He's keeping track. He's remembering. He's having it written down. The words that we say to each other as we exhort each other. And you know what, guys? The days in which we live, the time in which we live, it's even more vital. It is more important in the day in which we live in to encourage one another in the truth of God's word. It is so important that we speak words of life to people, that we speak the truth of God to people, that we speak what he says to them, that we will repeat his word to people. I don't want to go there. I go there all the time, so I won't. You're off the hook, babe. Amen. But now, beware, brethren. Who's that written to? That's written to us, isn't it? Aren't we the brethren? Beware, brethren, verse 12, lest there be in any of you an evil heart of unbelief in departing from the living God. Turn in, I don't know how to do this, so it'll come out awkward. It'll come out a little bit weird. And turn and look at somebody and just tell them, Pastor is really thankful for you. Go ahead. And say, just keep going, and then something like this. The pastor's really, really happy you're here. You tell somebody, Pastor is really, really blessed that you're here. Pastor really likes it when you're here. You have no idea how encouraging it is to the pastor. Amen? It is, you guys don't get it. You don't know how encouraging it is, how important it is, how much it matters to me, the difference it makes in my life. And I have to do this for a very specific purpose. Because what happens is, beware, brethren, lest there be in any of you an evil heart of unbelief in departing from the living God. One of the drawbacks of being a pastor in the same place for a long time is there's folks who once were here and no longer are. But yet you still see them in the community. And I know there's people in here, you feel the same thing. You feel the same thing that I do. You miss people. And somehow, an evil heart of unbelief in departing from the living God got inside of them. And they don't fellowship anywhere anymore. They have started to say, it's useless to go to church. What benefit is there in hanging out with other believers? You know, those are things that get said. Those are things that get spoken. Those are things that, and the reality of it is, that's against God. That's against his ordinances. Amen? He doesn't like that because he knows the benefit of fellowshipping with one another. He knows the benefit of hanging out with each other. And that verse of scripture, beware, brethren, lest there be in any of you an evil heart of unbelief in departing from the living God. So the subject matter here is people departing from the living God. How many of you think that's important? Really? I didn't even get any kind of... How many of you think that's important? Yeah! It matters that people don't depart from the living God. And the next verse, but exhort one another daily, as long as it is called today, lest there be in any of you an evil heart in departing from the living God. But exhort one another daily. And you know what? God's hearing us. Now, did you keep an open place here in Malachi? I hope you did, because I want to go back there. I'm going to read back here. I didn't say to, but I never left Malachi. Then those who feared the Lord spoke to one another, and the Lord listened and heard them. So a book of remembrance was written before him. And those who fear, for those who fear the Lord. Wow. A book's being written for who? Goodness. Wow. Is anybody's mind going to a day in heaven? Mine is. My mind is going to a day in heaven right now. And I don't know who is going to walk up to me. I don't know who is going to walk up to you and hand you a book. Because it's written for you. Read it. Did you read it? For those who fear the Lord. Who's this book being written for? Glory to God. I don't know. I'm getting excited. Oh, jeez. Oh, wow. Oh, wow. God is going to walk up to people. Whether it's God, whether it's Jesus, whether it's the Holy Ghost, whether it's an angel, whether it's Paul, I don't know who it's going to be. But somebody's going to walk up to people and go, here, you feared the Lord. And he listened to what you said, and he had a book written for you. And this is what you said when you were on the face of the earth to other people when they were in the middle of a storm and when they were in the middle of a battle. And God is so grateful. He is so thankful to you for the way you would speak and the way that you would hold fast to those words of life and the way that you would stick with your confession. He is so thrilled. He is so excited. He kept track of what you said. Why don't you just take a moment and read it? And just remember the impact you had on people's lives with the words of life and hope that you spoke. I don't know about you, but this will inspire me. This will inspire me. How many of you know life is so much more than just what's here? Oh, Jan, I will always think of you. Anybody got a pen or a pencil? Thank you, Isaac. Amen. Where are we going to go with this? Yeah, many of you have seen this before, but some of you have never seen it, so here we go. We'll go over here. Anybody see that? How many of you can see that? Okay, Diana can see it. Some folks. But there's a little dot right there, right? What's that little dot represent? That little dot represents our time on this earth. That's about how long, and it's just a little bitty dot. But now, what's the rest of that sign represent? What does that wall behind it, the ceiling above it, the floor below it, and out the doors, the sidewalk, what's that represent? That represents eternity. And you know what's so crazy to me? That what we do in that little dot impacts all of eternity. Wow. How many of you know we're blessed? We get to live on the face of this earth, and we get to love people, and we get to share Jesus with people, and we get to make their lives difference, and we get to speak words of hope to them and impact heaven forever. Wow. And actually, books are being written about it. Where did I leave my Bible? There it is. Amen. I don't know. Does this bless anybody today? Yes. Does this encourage anybody today? Inspire anybody? But does me, man. It works for me. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Let's go over to Isaiah. No, let's not. Yes, let's do. Isaiah 43. Isaiah 43. Turn and look at somebody and say, God's on your side. God's for you. He's got a plan for you. Amen. And I like to say this. How many of you know God's already figured in your mistakes? Did you know God has already figured in your mistakes? Did you know I can prove that to you? I can prove to you that God has already figured in your mistakes. Okay, Pastor, prove it. One word. Jesus. Jesus, we've all sinned and fallen short of the glory of God, so God figured in our mistakes. Jesus. You know what? He had an answer. Long before we were ever even born, he had an answer. Thank you, God. Thank you, God. Thank you, God. Did you get to Isaiah? All right, would you start at verse 22? Y'all doing okay? See, it's really quiet, and I knew it'd be teaching and that, and it just helps if there's a little bit of response back once in a while, just to help me, you know? And how many of you know I need help? I do. It's true. You know? And I'm not beyond begging for amens. No, well, I don't know. I just like to have fun. Verse 22, Isaiah 53. Yeah, 43. That was a test. No, it was not. That was just me messing up again. I need help. Isaiah 43, verse 22. Thank you all. But you have not called upon me. But you have not called upon me, O Jacob. And you have been weary. And you have been weary of me, O Israel. You have not brought me the sheep for your burnt offerings. Nor have you honored me with your sacrifice. You have not. Have I not caused you to serve with grain offerings, nor wearied you with incense? You have brought me no sweet cane with money, nor have you satisfied me with the fat of your sacrifice, but you have burdened me with your sins. You have wearied me with your iniquities. What are they doing to God again? Burdening him, wearying him. This time it's not with their words, but it's with their behavior, it's with their conduct. And here's what's so crazy about God. This is what I love about God. This is just part of the characteristic and the nature of God and the way that he is. Notice verse 25, in light of what he just got done saying. I am he who blots out your transgressions for my own sake. That just blesses me. Here he gets done saying, you know what, you guys, you've wearied me. I've had it up to here with your iniquities, with your lack of, da-da-da-da-da. I am he who blots out your transgressions for my own sake. You ever wonder why for his own sake? I think it's because he really wants to have fellowship with us. He really wants to walk with us. He really wants to be with us. And then he goes on and he says this. And I will not remember your sins. He won't remember our sins. Yeah, amen. Put me in remembrance. Let us contend together. State your case that you may be acquitted. He wants you to be acquitted. Wow, even when these people had wearied him, what's he trying to do? Get him back into fellowship with him. What's he want with us? Fellowship. Amen. And what's he tell us to do? State your case. Plead your case. Well, I figured out my case. You know what my case is? When I'm talking to God, and, you know, I need to state my case. It's kind of a one-word case again. Jesus! God, Jesus died on the cross for me. He shed his blood for me. His body was broken for me. That's my case, God. Jesus. He did it all. I have a great high priest who passed through the heavens. He did it. That's my case, God. And you know what God says? Acquitted. But now I want to go to numbers. Y'all right? Y'all okay, I'm going to quit asking that question because I'm going to keep going anyway, all right? Someone said amen. Thank you. All right, Numbers chapter 14. I just want to read about someone who pleaded his case. Numbers chapter 14. It's amazing to me. And talking about prayer and the impact and the power that we can have. State your case. Plead your case. I just like this. I just like this a lot. Again, this is another place where people have ticked God off. It's Numbers chapter 14. They're on the edge of the promised land. They're, you know, they could go in, but verse 11, Numbers 14, God's a little irritated. Then the Lord said to Moses, how long will these people reject me? How long will they not believe me? with all the signs which I have performed among them? How many signs had these guys seen? They'd walked through the Red Sea. They'd seen the plagues. I mean, he had showed them all kinds of things. He had done all kinds of things for them. All right, verse 12. I will strike them with pestilence and disinherit them. I will make of you a nation greater and mightier than they. And Moses said to the Lord, then the Egyptians will hear of it, for by your might you brought these people up out from among them, and they will tell it to the inhabitants of this land. They have heard that you, Lord, are among the people, that you, Lord, are seen face to face, and your cloud stands above them, and you go before them in a pillar of cloud by day and a pillar of fire by night. And if you kill these people as one man, then the nations which have heard of your fame will speak, saying, because the Lord was not able to bring this people into the land which he had swore to give to them, therefore he killed them in the wilderness. And now I pray, let the power of my Lord be great, just as you have spoken, saying. I think it's interesting. You know what Moses starts doing here? He starts saying back to God what God said. Did you know God doesn't mind us saying back to him what he's already said? And how many of you know this is a pretty intense moment in history right here? This is pretty intense. And Moses starts speaking back to God what he said. And the Lord, verse 18, the Lord is long-suffering and abundant in mercy, forgiving iniquity and transgressions, but he by no means clears the guilty, visiting the iniquity of the fathers on the children and on the third and fourth generation. Pardon the iniquity of these people, I pray, according to the greatness of your mercy, just as you have forgiven this people from Egypt even unto now. Then the Lord said, I have pardoned according to your words. Well, you guys, how merciful and forgiving is God? And how much of an impact do our words have in heaven? Amen? They're big, aren't they? Now, I'm going to wind this down here just real quick. Actually, I've only been going about 35 minutes. I know why it seems so long, because I got so much stuffed in 35 minutes. But jump over to Numbers chapter 13. And just I'll try to do this quickly. They're on the edge of the promised land. They're ready to go into the promised land, okay? But they don't go in. What kept them out? And I asked this question about 3 weeks ago. And you have to ponder it a little bit. I'll try to make it very much like it was a number of weeks ago. What was the reason that the people said they couldn't go into the land? And what was the reason that they didn't go into the land? Okay. The reason they said they couldn't go into the land was the giants. But was it the giants that actually kept them out of the land? What was it that actually kept them out of the land? Their words. What they spoke. That's what kept them out of the land. Now, this is where it's really important. If you are, you know what? How many of you know every one of us in here is a leader to some degree? In some way, shape, form, or fashion, each and every one of us in here is a leader to some degree. And somebody is listening to what you say. And somebody will follow and be influenced by what you say. Okay? So 12 spies go in, 12 spies come out. At first, okay, I want to just take some time and I'm not going to hurry. Because it's so important. There's a truth in here that people, my wife this morning, she said, She started, well, that's my opinion, but it really just doesn't matter that much. How many of us know that our opinion, don't get offended, folks. Please don't get offended. But how many of you know that our opinion just really doesn't matter that much? But boy, do we think it does. People think their opinion matters so much. My opinion just really isn't that important that I have to speak it and say it. You know what's really important? Do you know what really matters? God's word, what God said. And Moses, he asked these 12 spies to go into the promised land and bring him back with a factual report. I want to know, are the cities fortified? I want to know how big the people are. You know, are those cities, do they have walls around them or are they tents? What about the fruit in the land? He wanted some physical facts brought back. When they come back and bring the physical fruits, that's what Moses asked for. He wanted the facts of the situation. But then something happened. The 10 spies are given the facts, and you know what the people did with the facts? They got fearful. They got afraid. All right, I'm looking for it. Verse 30. They started to give the facts. Caleb steps up in the middle. Verse 30. Then Caleb quieted the people before Moses and said, "Let us go up at once and take possession, for we are well able to overcome." But, everybody say, but. But the men who had gone up with him said. Okay, now who are these men? These are 10 of the 12 spies. They're all leaders to some degree. But the men who had gone up with him said, "We are not able to go up against the people." Now what do they start to do? Now they're starting to give their opinion. Now they're starting to say what we can and what we can't do. Did Moses ask for that? Did he ask them to lead? But what do they start to do? They start to lead. They start to use their words and say what we can and can't do. And guess what was happening? The congregation was hearing those words. And those words were influencing the congregation of people. Those words had an impact. Our words had an impact in heaven, and our words have an impact on people around us. Okay? But we are not able to go up against this people, for they are stronger than we are. How many of you know you will face situations where the enemy is stronger than you, but not stronger than Jesus, but not stronger than God? You know, I think of John 10:10. Jesus came, the thief comes not but for to steal, kill, and destroy. That's why the devil comes, to kill, steal, and destroy. And some people get so impressed with the devil. They're just, in total fear of the devil. I like what Bill Johnson says. I can't afford to be impressed with the devil. Now, he's cunning and he's crafty. I'm not impressed with him. And you got to remember the second half of that verse. Jesus said, the thief comes not but for to kill, steal, and destroy. But, everybody say, but, I've come. I've come. There we go. Jesus came. Yeah, it's all good. Amen. But I've come that you might have life and life more abundantly. You know, sure, were these giants in the land? Absolutely they were. They were giants in the land. But I tell you what, the power of God and the truth of God and the word of God is greater and can overcome the facts. But what's going to be the foundation of your faith? The facts or the word of God? I'm going with the word of God every time. Every time I'm going with the word of God. Every time. I hope you are too. The facts will scream at you. The facts will yell at you. All right. Now notice verse 23. And they gave the children of Israel a bad report. Some translations say an evil report. of the land which they had spied out, saying, the land through which we have gone as spies is a land that devours its inhabitants, and all the people who we saw in it are of great stature. There we saw the giants, the descendants of Anak came from the giants, and we were like grasshoppers in our own sight. Well, you need to highlight that. We were like grasshoppers, what? In our own sight. How did they see themselves? Like grasshoppers. I will try not to do the Karate Kid throwback. Okay. Ah, grasshopper. Okay. Couldn't help it. Just couldn't help it. Oh, just a second. Ah. But they saw themselves as grasshoppers. Man, if you see yourself as a grasshopper, do you see yourself as a giant killer? No. They left out the word of God, and they let the facts be what dictated to them, and they ended up seeing themselves like grasshoppers. We are like grasshoppers in our own sight, and so we were in theirs. I don't know about you, I just find that powerful. And then Hebrews chapter 4 is really good, and the Bible says, and they could not enter in because of unbelief. Because the word which they heard was not mixed with faith. Now, leave off there. How do you mix the word of God that you hear with faith? Here's one way. It's not the only way, but it's one way. Speak it. What did Caleb do? Let us go up at once, for surely we are able to overcome. Who went into the promised land? From that older generation? Caleb and Joshua. Amen. Based on what they said. How do you mix faith? How do you mix the word that you hear with faith? One way, speak it. One way, speak it. Amen. All right, I'm going to quit right there. How many of you in here have heard about Jesus Christ and the fact that he died on a cross and forgave you of your sins? How many of you have heard of that? You've heard that? What have you done with that? What have you done with that? It's one thing to hear. It's another thing to do something with what you hear. What have you done with the fact that you heard about Jesus dying on a cross? Spoke to others about it? Somebody in here said something. What did someone in here say? Accept him as Lord and Savior. Receive him into our heart. Amen. Amen. I pray that everybody in here has done that. That everybody in here has said, oh, Jesus, I heard about you. And I say yes to you. I say yes to you, Jesus. I say yes to you. I know I sinned. I know I've blown it. I know I have messed up. I also know that you died on a cross. You allowed yourself to be beaten. You allowed yourself to be killed. And you took my place. And I thank you for the forgiveness of my sins. And I believe in my heart that God raised you from the dead, and I confess you, Jesus, as Lord of my life. Amen. If you're here today and you've never done that, you've heard about Jesus, but you've never done that, you can today. You can today. You can do that today. Amen. Hallelujah. Let's all go ahead and stand up.